Welcome to the Weekly Pass. Bonnie Jill is out of studio, but we are taking over for her. Today, we're talking the NFL, NBA, and we have Jovan Buha, a writer of the NBA, joining us right now. Let's get to it.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Motorsport.
Don't you just feel like jamming right now, David Bloom?
Amigos?
Yes. I mean, I'm bringing my inner, like, thug right now.
Oh, good for you.
I'm just laying into it a little bit.
Good for you.
Don't mind me.
Oh, we're not. Don't worry.
Oh, this guy. I gotta be with this guy. Bonnie Jill is not in studio.
Sorry.
She is slaying the game. She'll be back with us. We've got some exciting news we'll share with you when she's ready for that. But welcome to the Weekly Pass. I am Becky Sotero. Who are you, David?
Well, I mean, you just kind of gave it away for
us. Your last name, though.
Oh, my last name. Well, if that's important, I'm David Bloom, David H. Bloom, Instagram and Twitter.
He's missing high school right now for this.
I am missing actual real-life senior year of high school. It's very difficult.
But nobody, I don't think I've ever, is there any 17-year-old in the world that knows as much about sports as you? I don't think so.
I don't know. I don't want to claim that I
Boom.
Do because then I sound like I'm bragging, so I'm going to
go brag for you.
I don't know.
I'll brag for you. Our amazing prodigy in the house. We are going to be chatting all things NBA. We have Jovan Buha. He's an incredible writer for all kinds of... He's just had an incredible summer. So he's going to be with us over the phone. And then, oh my gosh, what else do we have? We have the NFL.
The NFL
season
is gearing up. It's in a couple days. On Thursday is the first game. Falcons-Eagles.
Okay, so what matchup are you excited for to see?
Oof.
I know. I'm looking forward to Pittsburgh and Cleveland.
Yeah, I want to see that. I want to see how Cleveland can stack up with their new roster. I mean, you know, you have Tyrod and Baker, and they just got guys like Josh Gordon could be coming back, and they just got guys like Jarvis Landry.
Right.
I want to see if Carlos Hyde can make a difference in the run game, because you know they lost Isaiah Crowell to the Jets. I want to see if maybe Duke Johnson Jr. can have a little bit of something, and I want to see if they can involve Nick Chubb. Like, they drafted him after Baker, and I want to see if he has any sort of running back potential, because I know they're going to be high on Baker. They're high on him in preseason. If you watch Hard Knocks, they're high on him.
Yes. But he's delivered, too, and in his stats...
He's delivered enough.
I know we worried about whether he could be at the elite level of the NFL, but his stats, even in college, have just lended him to be such a phenomenal player, and he's done really well in the preseason.
He's done well in preseason, but the Browns do well in preseason. The Browns went 0-16 last year because Corey Coleman couldn't catch a pass.
Yeah.
And they got rid of Coleman. They got rid of Deshaun
Kaiser.
I don't know.
I just think that there's something different about... I'll eat my words,
it's
but
really
I think there's something
hard.
Different about
it's
him.
It's really hard to think there's something different about the Browns because they are the Browns. And going up against a team like the Steelers, a team who has bringing Big Ben back, Antonio Brown, who Mike Tomlin said will be ready for...
But we're still waiting on...
Week one, still waiting on Le'Veon Bell.
Le'Veon Bell.
He'll be back. I don't know him personally, but I'm pretty sure he'll be back. I know that's a nice dynamic offense with Juju Smith-Schuster.
Yes.
They have options. And
I mean, of course, but I just think what I'm hoping is that maybe Baker being there, being strong at the helm, can maybe help. I'm not saying that they're going to be
help,
in the
but
playoffs.
But they still don't have the defense they need to take care of that. Because you see a lot of teams, Jacksonville mainly, I mean, they call them Saxonville.
Right.
That's the reason why they made it so far.
Sure.
Yeah, Leonard Fournette was good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Blake Bortles was better than people thought he would be.
Right.
But Allen Robinson got hurt on his first catch of the entire year.
Yeah.
And the players, Marquise Lee, didn't stack up to everything they needed him to be. And they couldn't get past the Patriots. But the reason why they got all the way to the Patriots was their defense.
Sure.
It was guys like Paul Posluszny and guys like Jalen Ramsey.
But,
that was the reason.
But to your point, Steelers' defense is not ideal
It's
either.
Not ideal so, either.
I don't know. But, I mean, okay, we know running backs are there. It's going to be an interesting game.
Yeah, the Steelers.
But you didn't answer my question, so who are you excited about?
Oh, who am I excited about? Well, I always want to see the Green Bay-Chicago game.
Yes.
I think that's really important. If you're unaware, the Bears just landed Khalil Mack.
Okay.
Pro Bowl linebacker.
Yes.
From the Raiders. Six-year deal they just signed him to. The Raiders.
Massive.
The Raiders are throwing away players. The Raiders are just, I don't know what they're doing.
They're grooming themselves for Vegas. I mean, I think they're just kind of...
Yeah, I think it was a mistake letting him go. I mean... Aaron Donald just signed the huge deal with the Rams.
Yes.
I think the highest paid defensive player.
Yeah.
Because people don't value defensive players in the league anymore.
No.
But they really, they have an impact, yeah. and you'll see it with the Bears. The Bears mm-hmm. now, they added Allen Robinson mm-hmm. yes. from the Jaguars, yeah. and Mitchell Trubisky is trying to get better. Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't really play him a whole lot when he was drafted, sure. but they're kind of leaning on him more. And he's not yeah. the ideal quarterback, but they do have guys like Jordan Howard, mm-hmm. who I don't actually believe in Jordan Howard
yeah.
as much as I do as last year, because Jordan Howard with Tariq Cohen in the backfield is not going to get the ball as much, right. and they're going to look for him through the air, and he right. doesn't have the hands like a guy right. like, I'll throw it over to the Patriots sure. last sure. year with Deion Lewis.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
that's not who he is. He's sure. a strong, big back.
Right.
And he just, I don't know if he can be that. And then you have on the flip side, you have sure. the Packers offense. You know, they just that's got rid team. Of Jordy. That's your my team. They just got Jimmy Graham. Aaron Rodgers is hopefully back and healthy. Yeah. I say hopefully because I know he's back, yeah. but I never want to jinx anything.
I know.
They got the run game. Aaron Jones had the suspension, and now they're just kind of limiting it between Jamal Williams right. and Ty Montgomery.
Right.
A couple years ago, if you're not aware, the Packers, they had Eddie Lacy, and Eddie Lacy, who got traded to the yes. Steelers or free agent to the Steelers, was the big, strong back. He right. kind of reminded the Steelers. Seahawks.
Seahawks.
Excuse
yes.
me, the Seahawks.
Yes.
He reminded the Seahawks of when they had Marshawn yeah. Lynch. So now the Packers kind of went real small with running back. They went with a guy like Jamal Williams, who could kind of just fit through the holes yep. and like go through the seams, and then they got a guy like Ty mm-hmm. Montgomery, who was way more of a passing threat than anything. Mm-hmm. You're not going to give Ty Montgomery the ball to like push through the line, but you're going to give Ty Montgomery right. the ball if you want to run maybe like an out route for him, right. a quick little in. But the Packers, I'm trying okay. to say this with no bias, but they're looking nice. And every year they take on Chicago, yeah. and they always fare well, and then they take on the Lions. Right. That whole NFC North. Mm-hmm. It's just a whole story because you have the Vikings. Yeah. You have the Kirk Cousins Vikings with Stephon mm-hmm. Diggs and Adam Thielen and Dalvin Cook, who's coming right. back from being injured, and they're looking good. They had yeah. the miracle against the Saints with that just amazing Stephon Diggs touchdown yeah. from Case Keenum, but now you add Kirk Cousins and yeah. trying to. It's a weird bias for me, I know, because I'm a Packers fan, but Kirk's on my fantasy team. So,
yeah.
Kirk Cousins, if you could channel a little bit of that Vikings magic, that would be
okay, well, spectacular. We have to. I'm going to interrupt you because we have some good stuff, David. We have to dive into Colin Kaepernick. You
oh,
guys,
let's please
this
dive
is
into
the
Colin
latest
Kaepernick.
In,
Kaepernick, excuse me.
I know. Well, only because this is such breaking news right now with his deal with Nike. You'd have to live under a rock to not know about this. But I want to hear your thoughts on this. We'll ask Yovana as well what he thinks. Publicity stunt, if you will. Mm. I mean, where's Nike been for 2 years is my question. Also, you know, I know Colin Kaepernick can't come out and really talk about what's going on, but he, because of the settlement and all of that that's going on, but he could have a lot sooner. And nobody's heard from Colin. So how is this going to benefit Colin? How is this going to benefit Nike? I know people on the flip side are burning their Nike shoes yeah. and whatnot, which is just juvenile. Like, it is what it is. Nike is, you know, Phil Knight, they strategize. They know what they're doing. So they're not worried about lost sales. But what are your thoughts
on
this?
No, they do know what they're doing. But, I mean, it is random, and it kind of feels out of nowhere. Yeah. Why now? Why, yep. like Nike, pretty much, why now?
Yeah.
But I wholeheartedly respect the campaign.
Yeah.
Like, the idea that Colin Kaepernick, he really mm-hmm. did sacrifice a lot mm-hmm. for his cause. Like, yeah. what he believed, everyone turned on him.
Yeah, not, I mean, he's not playing his sport.
Not everyone turned up, but the major people, it would be detrimental to have turn on you in the right. NFL. They turned on him, and he got a lot. And I support everything he's doing. I believe yeah. in free speech,
freedom of speech,
freedom
yes.
of speech.
Yes.
There it is.
Yes,
I'm not working on full capacity today, but I believe yeah. in his movement, his cause,
But does it not bother you that he hasn't really spoken up about it? I mean, I guess actions speak louder than words. Maybe he doesn't feel like he had yeah. to justify
no,
it.
No, actions do speak louder than words.
That's kind of the issue that a lot of people have, is that he's not coming to the forefront. Or, I mean, now he can't because of the legal side of it, but the investigation. But I just think at the end of the day, he never really spoke about his side of it.
What he did was he kind of started this movement.
Yeah.
And then he let everyone follow in his footsteps, and he let them speak for him, which yeah. is honestly amazing.
Which is amazing. And I mean, I will say that commercialism is such a massive, you know, piece of social activity. So, I mean, Nike is really capitalizing, using their corporate money to really, you know, boost this whole propaganda.
They're going after the market that believes in his cause, and then there's a whole market that doesn't.
Right.
And there's a whole market that's burning their Nike shoes.
But there always will be, and I guess that's kind of the back and forth that we just need to accept.
Yeah. It's the idea of you can't have both markets.
Right.
In anything you do, you got to pick a market, and they picked their market. They could have had a complete campaign where they were, like, against Colin Kaepernick and against everything he was doing, and all the people that were against it would be like, yeah, I'm going to buy some Nikes, then everyone for him would have been like, I'm going to burn my Nikes.
Yeah.
But they just kind of flipped that. And I think if they went against Colin Kaepernick, personally, I would have been a little weirded out by that. Like, I would have thought that's kind of a weird...
Well, and leave it to Nike too. I mean, obviously they're in the you know, NBA, the NHL, they're all over. So they support diversity. They support they support freedom of speech. So
they're
very smart about and strategic about how they're approaching this. But it just seems like there's just been such an outrage about it. I was honestly shocked.
Yeah, I'm really shocked by the outrage. But I feel like Nike is getting on the right side of the argument where they can. Mm-hmm. I feel like they're just trying to find their place in to just say, oh, okay, we stand over here, and they're showing where they stand with this campaign.
Yeah, but don't you feel that's been a lot of the talk, is that they're on the right side of history, but is it too late? Is it too late? You know what I mean? Like,
I don't think it's ever too late.
2 years?
I think... To bring something up, and I don't even want to say rehash, but it's still an ongoing thing. And for Nike just to chime in, it really gives this side a lot more power.
Of course. And I think, I mean, there's something to be said, too, that this is going to weigh so strongly on Kaepernick's side for this legal battle against the NFL, too. Johan! Hey!
Hey.
What's up, buddy?
How are you guys?
I miss you. I wish you were in studio with us.
I know. I wish I was too.
You guys,
I'm glad to be back on.
World, we have Johan Buha on with us right now. Introduce yourself. Tell us all about your summer. And you were at Summer League. You were at the Team USA mini camp. Gosh, you were just all over the place. And we want our viewers to hear all about your adventures.
Yeah. So last time I was on, I was an NBA editor for ESPN.com. And now I am the Clippers writer for The Athletic in Los Angeles.
Wow.
So going to be covering the Clippers this season. Going to be going to Hawaii for training camp, covering the team on the road, traveling with them and stuff. So really looking forward to that. And then I'll probably cover the Lakers, like, you know, towards the end of the season, too, which I'm excited for. Ended up going to that switch happened at the end of June, so it's been a couple months, but ended up going to Summer League for a week, then back out to Vegas for Team USA mini camp. I will say 9 days in Las Vegas, I don't recommend that.
it's
very trying.
I bet. All for the job.
after like day five or six, you just don't want to be there anymore. So but that was really fun and cool to, you know, I hadn't been to Summer League in a couple of years, so it was nice to be back. And Team USA, it was amazing, just kind of seeing firsthand, like, the practices and guys going at it and stuff. So it's been a good summer. And then training camp now starts in less than 3 weeks. So the new season is upon us.
So you're spending a lot more time with Clippers primarily then, not so much with Lakers.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to try to go to every Laker home game.
Sure.
That I can, but you know, Clippers will be my priority. So if they're on the road and Lakers are at home, you know, I'll be focused on the Clippers and not the Lakers.
Yes. Well, I mean,
Clippers is my primary focus.
How can you not be? I mean, we've got, I don't know, you have to have your foot in it a little bit with LeBron in town.
Exactly. That's sort of once in a generation thing.
Right.
So there's no way I'm going to miss that.
Can you kind of speak to that on how you feel about that dynamic and how the Clippers are going to be kind of clawing for their space? I'm going to let David take the reins here in a minute because he's our Clippers resident fan here. But I just want to know kind of what your thoughts are on how the Clippers are going to be able to kind of rise above that energy that the Lakers have.
It's going to be really difficult. I'm not going to lie because, you know, LeBron James is not only the most famous NBA player, he's probably the most famous American athlete, you know, right now, and one of the most famous athletes in the world. So I just feel like he's such a force that, you know, you just kind of combine his star power with the Lakers' star power, and I just think that they're going to dominate the news cycle. You know, we all know, like, during the season, everything LeBron does on social media, he liked this post, he commented this, he posted this, like, everyone overreacts. Now you take that, you know, that was in Cleveland, take that at the Lakers, which already the Lakers were still very relevant despite being so bad the last few years. I just think it's a recipe for, you know, it's going to be the story of the season is, you know, how good are the Lakers? How good is LeBron? Can they actually compete with the Warriors? And for the Clippers, like, I think, you know, they're on the outside looking into the playoff picture. I think, you know, for them to make the playoffs, some of the teams ahead of them have to, you know, suffer some really bad injuries. And the Clippers have to stay healthy, which they, you know, probably won't be able to do based on their personnel. So
yeah.
I think it's going to kind of be a weird year for the Clippers. But I'm excited to see how their young guys develop. You know, they got a couple lottery picks. And I think Tobias Harris is going to have a really big year. It's a contract year for him. So there's some interesting stuff if you're a hardcore basketball fan or, you know, a big Clippers fan. But, you know, there's no really, you know, easy way to put it. Like, the Lakers are going to be the story in L.A. and really the NBA this season.
Well, I mean, LeBron is always going to be the story wherever he goes. When he went to Miami, the whole NBA flocked to Miami. I mean, I think I definitely agree with you. I think for the Clippers, what they have to do, speaking more on that side, is they kind of have transitioned away from their Lob City mentality by getting rid of Chris and Blake and DeAndre. And now I feel like they got to kind of focus on more of this gritty style basketball with guys like Patrick Beverley. You know, they just drafted their lottery pick, Shai Alexander, and they passed up on Michael Porter Jr., which is interesting, and they grabbed Jerome Robinson from BC. But they really have to focus more on playing that lockdown, almost call it Clamp City type basketball that Patrick Beverley has described, and he even said that they're a threat to the Warriors, which I don't wholeheartedly believe, but they really got to just kind of use every guy they can. And you saw when they started to lose, when they started to lose Chris, they started to go to guys like Zendarius Thornwell and Juwan Evans because they could. When they had the big three, they would never, ever use a guy like that. Like Reggie Bullock would never, ever get playing time. But now you look and you know Shai's going to get good minutes. You know Jerome's going to come off the bench well. And then you have Patrick Beverley and then Lou Williams and then you got Polish Hammer, Marcin Gortat. You got Marcin Gortat down there, and hopefully he can make some sort of influence at his age. But they're really like a all-around kind of team. I mean, the Warriors are all-around great team, but I feel like they just got to use what they have and just play into that scheme. Like, they got to play who they are.
How do you feel about that?
Yeah, it's definitely it's a scrappy group. Like, last year, I felt that they kind of overachieved and then really, like, shouldn't have been in the playoff race, but they're in the playoff race until the third-to-last, you know, game of the season. So I completely agree with you. They have a bunch of scrappy role players, energy guys, defensive-minded people, shooters. Like, and, you know, I think the way for them to get into the postseason is kind of the sum of their parts being greater than what they are. So I think that's kind of the path.
Who are some breakout teams for you? Now, I know, I mean, obviously the West is so heavy. I feel like how is anyone going to contend with the Warriors or the Rockets? But who are some, you know, even in the East, who are you liking? I mean, we'll kind of switch back to this other question, but I really like Kevin Knox. I know that he's, you know, a rookie this year for the Knicks, but do you feel like the Knicks have any, you know, run this season? I know it's all about the Celtics, but just kind of your thoughts overall on teams that you really are excited for.
So I think the Knicks, I do like Kevin Knox, but I think the Knicks are going to be really bad. But that's more because of Porzingis being out. And it looks like the earliest he will come back is January. And then at that point, depending on if they're still in the playoff picture or not, like, you know, it would not surprise me if they sat him for the season.
Well, yeah, January's so late.
It's too late, exactly. Honestly.
So it's like, and I just think that they don't have a lot of depth. And, like, if you're saying, like, their best players are, like, Kevin Knox, Enes Kanter, and Tim Hardaway Jr., like, that's not that, you know, good of a team. So I'm not too high on the Knicks, but I'm, you know, you just said the Celtics. Like, I'm very high on the Celtics. I think the Celtics, as long as they're healthy, which, you know, going into the season they will be, I think they're the second-best team in the NBA now, that the Rockets lost Trevor Ariza and Luke Mbamute. I think the Celtics, I mean, you saw what they did. They took, you know, they took the Cavs to Game 7 without Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward. So I think you add those two guys, like, I think they should be the heavy favorites in the East. I really don't see any way, you know, Toronto or Philly can beat Boston if they're healthy. So I think that lineup of, if they go like Horford, Hayward, Tatum, Brown, and Kyrie, that's probably the second best lineup in the NBA behind the Warriors starting lineup once Boogie's back. So I think Boston is going to be really, really good. Teams I'm high on, I think people are sleeping on Utah.
I would not surprise me
if Utah Love is that. The number two seed. Last year, when they were healthy, they were on pace for 60 wins. Mm-hmm. And it was just Rudy Gobert missed 30 games. So in those 30 games, they were so bad that, they barely, they ended up kind of barely making the playoffs. But I think when healthy, Utah can kind of push for 55 wins, which might be enough for the two seed this season. I think that people are sleeping on Denver too. I think Denver is probably going to make the playoffs, which is going to push someone else out. And then in the East, I'm really high on Milwaukee. I think if you look at who has coached that team for the past few years, they've kind of had a revolving door of bad to mediocre coaches. Mm-hmm. Mike Budenholzer is a really, really good coach. You saw what he did in Atlanta when he had a not even that good of a team, but just had some solid players. They had multiple All Stars, 61 season. So you give him Giannis, and Chris Middleton, Bledsoe, Brogdon. They have some nice, just got Brooke Lopez. They have some nice pieces in Milwaukee, and sure. I think that would be the team I'd pick in the East to kind of make the jump into maybe that number three or four range. Wouldn't surprise me if they're pushing towards 50 wins next season.
Oh, I completely agree. And I respect the Nuggets pick because people are really sleeping on the Nuggets. The Denver Nuggets have guys like Nikola Jokic, Paul Millsap. Mm. They just got Isaiah Thomas. They drafted Michael Porter Jr. They still have Gary Harris. They're a nice, well-rounded team that in this West, they can actually sneak their way in. Mm-hmm. And, you still have guys, teams at the bottom like the Timberwolves and the Rockets, you said. Mm-hmm. They lost Ariza. They're going to start to decline. They lost Bamute on defense. Back to the Clippers.
Yeah.
And I definitely agree with the Bucks in the East. The new coaching, Giannis Antetokounmpo, is just getting better every single year. Mm-hmm. Brogdon, I think, I was high on him. I really was high on that kid, but he's just kind of faded a little bit, and he's what they need because then they can use guys like Lopez and Middleton, but he's not enough. And another team I think that I wouldn't say people are sleeping on, but give them a couple years, and if they develop, they'll be something as the Chicago Bulls because they have such a young lineup with guys like Zach LaVine and Chris Dunn and Jabari Parker and Wendell Carter Jr. and Lauri Markkanen. They're young, and these are all players who still can prove themselves. Zach LaVine's proving himself more and more. He's kind of panning out to the player he'll be. Lauri Markkanen was just crazy. They got him in the draft trade for Jimmy Butler. Mm. And then they just drafted Wendell Carter Jr. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So they are very set, I think, for the next, once the Warriors' reign kind of stops, and then they just, they can fall into that spot in the East. Hopefully, I don't want to say hopefully, but the Celtics soon will fall. Kyrie's.
Yeah, I don't think that anybody can, the Celtics are, I feel, the Celtics only team that can really give the Warriors a run for their money. Johan, how do you feel about that in terms of the East?
That the Celtics giving the Warriors a
Yeah, like, aren't? do you feel like anybody can really be, healthy? I know we're all assuming healthy, but do you think that anybody can really give, in terms of the East, the Celtics run for the money in terms of meeting the Warriors for playoffs?
I would say the two teams that in theory could do it are, I still think the Rockets.
Okay.
I'm skeptical because now I think for me, how I've been gauging moves for teams this offseason is really how does this match up against the Warriors? Because you saw the, Magic Johnson did an interview on ESPN during Summer League, and he was kind of saying he took some of the blueprint of the Rockets and Celtics, but then he also kind of was kind of dismissing the Warriors as we got to prepare for everyone else, and it's not just about the Warriors. I'm like, no, it is just about the Warriors.
Yeah.
The Warriors are the NBA boogeyman. Like, you can, you know, you can add whoever you want and play whatever style you want, but if it's not conducive to beating the Warriors, it doesn't matter, because, you're, you know, if you want to win a title, you're going to have to go.
Absolutely. I don't feel like anybody's making decisions based on individual talent. It's about structuring and strategizing to beat the Warriors.
It very much is. Well, what do you think about the idea of waiting till the Warriors are done and planning for maybe 4 to 5 years in the future?
I think that it kind of makes some sense. Like, I think you look at it, like, I feel like the Lakers are kind of trying to strike that balance of, you know, kind of trying to, I mean, I think if you're the Lakers, you got to try to win now just because LeBron is
yeah,
such a
you got him, use him.
Player that you can't just waste LeBron's, like, you know, remaining prime, which is insane that he's still in his prime after like 15 years. But, you know, you can't waste, LeBron cannot afford to waste like a season just like, all right, it's going to be me and the young guys and we'll just see what happens. Like, you got to go for it if you have LeBron. But that said, I think the Lakers are kind of trying to strike that balance. But looking at it, like, I'm interested to see what, you know, a team like the Suns, like with Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton now, like how do they look in 3 to 4 years? You know, you mentioned the Bulls. I think that there's some interesting young teams that, like, we'll see kind of how they develop. But I think it's really, to me, the Rockets and the Celtics. Now, the Rockets, I'm skeptical of the Carmelo Anthony fit just because, you know, he was such a poor fit in OKC. And then, like, in theory, his skill set, if you're going to say, like, Olympic Melo and kind of that spot up shooting, like, and kind of him not being as ball dominant, like, you didn't really see that as much last year. And you know, I don't think he was clearly not happy with his role in OKC. So I'm like, I don't see you having a much different role in like Houston. Like maybe they rely on him a little bit more because, you know, for as ball dominant as Harden and Chris Paul are, I don't think they're going to shoot as much combined as like Westbrook and Paul George. So maybe he has a slightly bigger role in Houston. But to me, I'm like, I do not see Carmelo Anthony being able to hang in crunch time against the Warriors. Like, they will exploit him defensively.
Yeah.
He's not a good defender, and you know, now he's aging and just kind of slowing down. Like, I think they're going to exploit that. Celtics, to me, are the one team that, if healthy, if Tatum takes another step, if Jaylen Brown takes another, like, you just saw the way the Celtics played in the playoffs. So I was like, that's a team that could hang with the Warriors.
Right.
Their style
they
of play.
Could.
And they were, yeah, were injured.
They're switching so much. Like, Al Horford could even switch on the guards. Like, I just think the way the Celtics play, I would still pick the Warriors to beat them, but I would right now say it'd probably be a 6 or 7 game series. And at that point, like, you never know what can happen.
So good. Well, I'd be remiss to not ask you about Kawhi. So how are we feeling about him for next season? Clippers, I mean, they're going all in, aren't they? They're planning to.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like, you know, the Clippers and the Lakers are the two non-Toronto favorites.
Yeah.
I would get, I mean, we'll see how the season goes. I think people that, you know, some of the people that said, like, the Spurs won that trade or that it was, like, you know, a fair trade. Mm-hmm. To me, the Raptors won that trade just because,
yeah, they did.
You know, when healthy, Kawhi is, like, you know, he's a top five, even, like, maybe even top three, you know, just if you're factoring in, like, two-way ability. So I think, to me, if you could get that type of guy for – DeRozan is a nice player. He's an all-star. He's, like, an all-NBA caliber guy, but – you know, if you're probably ranking guys, he's probably somewhere more in that like 15 to 20 range. So to me, if you can flip someone like that for someone of Kawhi's talent and, you know, potential ability like next season, if healthy, I just think that was a no brainer for Toronto. And like, they didn't really give up that much besides DeRozan to get him. So Kawhi, I mean, look, we haven't seen like any highlights or workouts of him playing. So it's kind of hard to say like how healthy he is, what, you know, how athletic he looks, what his shot looks like, whatever. But I think if all systems are go and he's healthy, like you got to put Toronto up there. Like again, I don't think they could beat Boston, but I think they're probably number two right now. You know, it's like kind of them and Philly neck and neck. And you know, I think Kawhi has a lot to prove now because it is a contract here for him. There's, you know, he's gotten a lot of backlash for the Spurs situation, which last time I was on, we talked about it. I actually said I took, you know, I kind of took Kawhi's side a little bit more than most people were doing. I still stand by that. I think the Spurs kind of mismanaged that situation more than Kawhi did. But I think he has a lot to prove, and he's going to be very hungry to do that. And it's like, you know, he has a lot of money on the table.
Yeah, well,
he comes back, does not look good. I don't think he's going to get that Supermax. So he has like $200 plus million, you know, reasoning to have a good season. So I'm expecting a huge year for him.
Do you think the Clippers will pay what he will desire, you know, in 2019, though, for that free agency?
Yeah. No, okay. I think for sure. Yeah. The Clippers are going to have a lot of cap space next summer, and yeah. I think they'll give him whatever he wants. You know, especially for them, like, you know, before the whole Blake Griffin, Chris Paul thing, they had mm-hmm. never really had a star of that right. caliber. You know, maybe Elton Brand was like the closest, but he was always kind of like a secondary guy. So yeah. I think for them, like if they could get a guy of Kawhi's caliber, like it's a no-brainer for them.
Yeah, they need that bad.
They really do need that. They need a guy who can draw like Chris Paul drew and like Blake Griffin drew. And I mean, we all know the Raptors are trying to pull the same thing the Thunder did with Paul George, where they get him for a year off a trade because he didn't want to be where he was, and now they're hoping to re-sign him. But people are not giving the Spurs the credit they deserve. They had a player that wanted to be out of there, and they could have gotten little to nothing. The Pacers also did well going and getting Oladipo. No one knew he would be as good as he was, but the Spurs were offered such trades that were nothing, and Kawhi was like, get me out of here. So the fact that they got a guy like DeMar DeRozan, and yes, of course, Kawhi Leonard's a much better player than DeMar DeRozan, mm-hmm. but the fact that they got a guy like that out of a player that was going no matter what, they even got a guy like Jakob Poeltl as well, people are not giving them the credit they deserve. And I think while they're not going to be who they were, I still think they have a place in the low end of the West. And I think even Lamont retired and Parker's gone. Duncan retired a while ago. That whole era is kind of done. LaMarcus Aldridge is still there. He can pair nice with them. DeJounte Murray. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not as horrible as people think they are.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you. I think the one thing that I thought was interesting with the Rosen trade was that if you looked at it, like all the rumored trades kind of beforehand, it was like, you know, initially like the Lakers young guys and then like the Celtics young guys mm-hmm. and like the Sixers young guys. It was very future forward thinking trades. And the fact that they ended up trading for DeMar DeRozan, who's a guy like, you know, right now in the middle of his prime, probably going to be like a really good player for another, like, you know, 3 or 4 years or whatever. You know, that to me signals that it wouldn't, you know, would not surprise me if Greg Popovich retires soon.
Oh, no, yes. I wouldn't be surprised
and,
at all.
And, you know, looking at like the 2020 Olympics, he's yep. going to coach that team. Yep. So, you know, if you told me Pop coaches 2 more years,
I was just going to say two seasons,
and goes out with the Olympics, like, that, because to me, DeRozan is a win now move. I'm like, if you're going for DeRozan, another like all star, you're saying you want to continue to be competitive and win, and you don't want to bring in young guys and kind of rebuild and Pop's last, you know, 2-3 years, whatever. So right. to me, that kind of signaled Pop is probably leaving soon. They mm-hmm. want to remain at least competitive in the playoff race. And I think that if that was their goal, which it seems like it is, like they achieved that for sure. I just think for me, if you could have gotten like an Ingram or a Kuzma or a Jaylen Brown or like yeah. a, you know, Sarge and Fultz, something like that, that would have set you up longer term, I think a little bit better. But if your goal is like, hey, Pop's leaving, we got to stay competitive, I think they did that.
Right. Well, speaking of Kuzma and DeRozan, did you check out Drew League this year? I know sometimes you go.
I did not. I'm kind of sad that I never made it out there.
Oh, man.
Just kind of with traveling and stuff, it was, you know. But I do love the Drew League, and it's always a fun time. And,
yeah,
you know,
shout out to Drew League.
In LA area, you should check it out.
Yeah, it's so good. I feel like it's just expanded so much in the last 3 years. And anyway, I know you've attended it in the past, and it was a pretty lit season this year. So big things ahead. I know we have to let you go in a minute, but what's kind of on the cusp for you, the horizon? Anything exciting besides, you know, I know obviously Clippers and kind of diving into that, but anything, you know, maybe next summer that you're looking forward to? What's up with you?
Well, I think next summer is going to be a huge summer for the NBA, just mm-hmm. kind of looking at potential free agents in, you know, like Kawhi, Jimmy Butler, right. Kyrie, Kevin Durant, just kind of going on and on. Like there's a bunch of high profile guys, and there's a lot of smoke out there about, you know, multiple, you know, guys potentially leaving, whether that's going to LA or going to the Knicks or whatever. So I think, you know, it would be very interesting to see kind of where, you know, this time next year, 2019, You know, how the NBA looks, what the landscape looks like. You know, maybe the Warriors have broke. You know, Klay Thompson's another guy. Maybe the Warriors have broken up, or one of their guys left.
I mean, he's
more vulnerable now.
He's made it pretty clear he's not leaving. But yeah, there's hope, right?
I mean, you never. There's always unforeseen. Like, because if you told me a year ago Kawhi Leonard was going to demand a trade, I would have said you're crazy.
Right.
Like,
of course.
Kawhi Leonard was probably the last guy you'd ever pick to demand a trade. Like, he, you know, that was not in his personality whatsoever. So I just think it's going to be an interesting 12 months of how the season goes and how all that affects next summer. For me personally, I have a big story on Tobias Harris coming out in a few weeks, which I'm excited about.
Outstanding. And where can they find that? The world.
And then I might be working on something cool this weekend, actually, which I'll share more about on social media. But can't give it away yet, but it'd be a really cool story if I'm able to do it.
Well, where can everybody find your
story? That's kind of it for me.
Where can they find your stories at? Is it The Athletic still? Are you still writing for them, or is it?
TheAthletic.com. It is a subscription-based, but there's always, like, you know, discounts and stuff, so it ends up being, like $3 a month or something.
Perfect.
Also social channels like Instagram and Twitter at Jovan Buha, JOVANBUHA. That's kind of where you can find all my stuff.
So good. Jovan, thank you so much for joining us. You have so much information. I can't wait to see what happens with you. You're just sort of in this, like, the middle of this cyclone of this incredible NBA season that we're in the midst of. Can't wait to see you. Hopefully I'll see you around, Laker Nation, hint, hint, I hope someday soon. So, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me on.
Yes, of course. We'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you guys soon.
Bye. So good. He's got so much information.
It's great having him on. He's the best.
Well, and I mean, I had to bring him on for you because you're a resident Clippers guy.
I might be. I know a little couple stuff about that team.
Just
a history.
But it's interesting. Do you feel the same way about Pop? Do you think in a couple of years we're going
to
see him?
I do. Yeah. I think they're trying to stay competitive for him, but they really can't do a whole lot. I mean, they could have tried to win later, but the Pop, when Monty retired, it really kind of ended the whole Pop era.
Yeah.
Like when Tim Duncan had to take over after David Robinson and the Twin Towers kind of ended, he did.
Yeah.
And that was because Pop helped him. But now Tony Parker's era is done because he's in Charlotte. Monty retired.
Yeah.
Kawhi's gone.
Yeah, it's a new landscape for sure.
It's really a new landscape.
Well, I want to tip this to you, David. Thank you so much for joining us in the live chat, everybody. Also, follow us at BJL Weekly Pass. But Star Drew asked, what will be the tightest division in the NBA? What are your thoughts on that?
Division.
We were going to ask Jovan, but we had to say bye-bye.
First question I've got about NBA divisions.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Do you have any thoughts on that, the tightest?
You know, the Pacific.
Okay.
Solely because they got guys, they got a team, the Warriors. Mm-hmm. Lakers, and the Clippers could be scrappy, and you know the Suns are on the come up.
There's always hope.
Ayton, and Booker.
They made some good trades,
Josh Jackson, they're looking nice.
Okay.
And then you got the Kings, but we're not going to talk about the Kings. We're not going to talk about the Sacramento Kings here.
The only Kings we talk about here are the LA ones.
Kings, because I'm just not in my offending Sacramento Kings fans.
But, I mean, technically what you're saying is the division that has the Gold State Warriors in it.
They've got Curry and LeBron going head-to-head in the same division.
Yeah.
And I know basketball divisions that used to matter, they don't matter anymore.
Right.
They're just for show. It's not like hockey. It's not like football. It's not like baseball. But that division's going to be tight because it's two teams. Mm-hmm. And everyone's so high on the Lakers because they have LeBron.
Right.
Not realizing that the Lakers signed a bunch of goofballs on one-year deals, and they still got LeVar to deal with, and all these young, inexperienced guys that LeBron's got to take care of.
Sure.
And then there's the Warriors. And the Warriors have an all-star lineup 1 through 5. Once Boogie gets back, 1 through 5.
Yeah, it's you just can't compete with that. I mean, it's going to be such an incredible season. Like Jovan said, I'm so excited for that. Really quick, before we close this out, we just want to talk about some other updates. Carson Wentz is not going
to be part
of the season opener. Foles hasn't looked good. I think, it's just been a little bit of a weird, mismatch. But I don't want to sleep on Foles because he's obviously defending
Super
Bowl
Foles.
QB. But, I mean, what are your thoughts about that? Do you think Foles will come out on top?
Well, I'm going to give you some very key information about Nick Foles. Foles is the type of player that will show out, and then fall back down.
Yeah,
like every time
roller coaster player.
Roller coaster. Yeah. Nick Foles got a huge contract deal and then did not show up because he showed up, I believe it was even for the Eagles, and he kind of bounced around the league before he went back to the Eagles, who was on the Rams, and they thought they'd use him more. They didn't. They traded Sam Bradford for him. And then he goes back to the Eagles and shows up, and now they're like, you're our starting quarterback for week one while Carson's not there. And I guarantee you he's not going to do as well as he did in the playoffs.
Okay.
He doesn't have that fire. He's kind of setting into the mundane of the NFL.
Okay.
Carson Wentz could do the mundane of the NFL. Carson Wentz, I really hope he gets another, not another playoff run.
But we've seen that in preseason, but you don't think that it will turn on for regular season, what you're telling me.
I don't think that he's going to be, because he treated the playoff run like, this is it. Yeah. Almost like a movie.
Yeah. This is like no turning back, do or die,
This is 16 games, 17 weeks, minus the playoffs.
Right.
He's got to do all that until Carson Wentz is healthy. And you know once Carson's healthy, they're going to go back to him. Unless Nick Foles proves me absolutely wrong. But I don't think he's made for the mundane of the week-to-week NFL.
All right. Well, we will see. We're going to see when the season kicks off in four days or two days.
This Sunday's the... It's the first Sunday we have real football.
So good. Well, we'll
excited.
We'll have so much to talk about on Tuesday. Thank you so much, my friends, for joining us. I'm Becky Sotero. You can find me on all social media. Becky Sotero, where can they find you, David?
I'm David Bloom. You can find me David H. Bloom, Instagram and Twitter. Come yell at me about my Nick Foles opinions.
Come at him. Come at him. Or, like I said, join us in the chat. We've got a lot of things coming up, big news. So follow us at BJL Weekly Pass on Twitter. We want you to be part of the show. And like I said, if the schedule changes, it's a great way to get updates.
It is.
Yeah, join us there. We'll see everybody next week, 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, right here. Thanks, guys.
Peace.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.